Popcorn Lorians, you are tuned in to Popcorn and Lore. Finally, I got the podcast name right. It has only taken 4 podcasts to do that.
You did it.
I am Steph with an F, and
I'm JC.
And we're going to be talking today about the Goofy movie.
That's right.
This, of course, was released in 1995. This movie brought some big nostalgia for me.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I watched it a bunch when I was a kid. But especially, it brings back feelings now more that I'm an adult because, you know, viewing as a kid, you're like, yeah, you know, I wouldn't want to hang out with, you know, my goofy parent
either. Of course. You know, I have to say, and I told you the last time I saw this movie, in fact, the first time I saw this movie, I'm pretty sure I was 8 years old. I'm in my 20s now. And so going back and watching it, it was very surprising. It was a good movie. I enjoyed it. It's by no means, I'll just say this, it's not my favorite Disney movie ever, but it is a good movie. The one thing that really threw me off was I totally did not remember it being a musical at all.
Yeah, I kept forgetting it was going to be a musical also. But, I mean, it was the songs they put in there, like, they did not have to jam that hard, and they did. To go back a little bit before we go a little deeper into the music, and some facts about that, I want to talk about the director a little bit, Kevin, Lima, and the director had directed, some other movies, specifically also for Disney. Some of the big accomplishments was, Tarzan in 1999, the animated movie, Aladdin in 1992, and Enchanted in 2007.
Wow.
Which Enchanted will come back into play during our next one, because one of the actors in that I'm going to be talking about in our Guilty Pleasures rom-com movie plays in there.
Oh, okay.
This, of course, was voiced with some great talent. And actually, a lot of this talent was some of the original ones from the TV series, because I didn't know if you knew, the Goofy movie only came about because they had great response to the Goof Troop movie. A TV show.
I did not know that.
Yep, and that was when Max was about, I think they had him about 10 years old or so. And it was a very, very good TV show back then. And they had a little bit more with Pete and that family and everything.
Okay. So.
But,
you know, I have to say they do a really good job setting the tone for the entire movie from the beginning. One part that is a big surprise, at least for me it was, is the dream sequence in the beginning. Because you get this sense of this dude does not want to be his dad at all. And Goofy's just not the cool dad. But he wakes up from this dream totally panicked that he's going to become his dad. I found that really interesting.
And it was really interesting, too, that... With the movie, like, you know, he got to, I mean, he knew his dad, but really got to see how much he was wrong in that.
Yes.
It wouldn't be a bad thing.
Right.
And also it was kind of cute that, Roxanne is the girl that, Max falls in love with. And it was kind of cute to see how she actually liked the yuck.
Right.
Which just so y'all know, I've been practicing that just for that point. Going, yuck. So, but, you know, it also kind of brings up some other stuff too, though. Like, what would you do to impress, you know, the girl or guy that you're into, especially as a teenager?
Right.
And, you know, like, he lied about being Powerline, which also huge resemblance to, Goofy and to him, Powerline, that was actually based off of, let me see, hold on. So that character Powerline, he has the song Eye to Eye, which is a great song, and also a couple other ones in the movie. But the character Powerline was a mixture of Bobby Brown, Prince, and Michael Jackson.
I could see that. Yeah.
So yeah, it was kind of just brought that swagger to it, and it was really great sequences, especially Eye to Eye is very. Iconic now, and that was because TikTok brought it back.
Okay.
And actually I think gave this movie a little bit more popularity than it already had, because it had a little popularity. It was like a cult classic is what probably what you would call it. A couple years ago, people just started doing the perfect cast. And that is the perfect cast is what Goofy, yes. his dad taught him how to fish and everything. And during that sequence with them actually getting to the Powerline concert, Max yells down to his dad to start, because his dad's on stage. It's Goofy.
Right.
You know, and starts saying, you know, he yelled, do the perfect cast.
Right.
And so Powerline started doing that perfect cast with Goofy. And then Max came down and started doing that too. And that actually became a TikTok phenomenon for like, I want to say a couple weeks or so, where people were learning how to do the dance and really doing that on TikTok and other places too.
Wow. So Disney really spilled over into TikTok and kind of repopularized that.
And also gave some positivity to it because it was just dancing and it was really cool. And actually brought around some other dancing too, to follow that with, I know the Kenny Chesney song, and some other ones that they started doing dances with.
Well, and that scene, you mentioned it, but where Max pretends to be Powerline, and you can kind of see that, you know, Roxanne is already open to, you know, getting to know him kind of thing. It was a really well done scene, I thought. I mean, like I said, I haven't seen this in a while, and so the whole time I was like, wow, this is so cool.
Yes, and Max has two good friends. He had one, what was the line? Tower of Cheese, though?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. That was
spray cheese. Yeah.
Yep. And, but he had two really good friends that helped him at the beginning of the movie attempt to impress the girl and pull a big prank-ish, I would say, of everyone thinking that Powerline was at the school.
Right.
And he was singing in front of the whole crowd and everything.
Right.
Which, again, it still astonished me how much they made him and Powerline look alike.
Mm-hmm. And that scene right there kind of sets the tone for the rest of the movie in terms of Goofy gets a call from the school principal. Hey, your son's going to end up in jail. He looks like a, you know, a gang member or something. He's dressing like a gang member. And it sparks this idea for Goofy to go on a trip with his son.
Yeah. And I mean, he put the fear into him. I don't remember ever getting, I mean, I was also a pretty good kid, but like hearing anyone get that kind of phone call for a principal, but I mean, you had to make it drastic, but I loved how Goofy was able to be able to take that time.
Yes.
And it's amazing to see, because a lot of families don't get to go on road trips or do that kind of thing. I know my grandparents took my sister and I, when we were younger, to Galveston a couple years in a row. It was a long road trip. And hijinks didn't ensue like Goofy movie, but we still had a lot of fun on there. But it, you know, it does sometimes take a lot of patience.
Yes. And I think the movie does a really good job of speaking to that reality that sometimes family is not the easiest group of people to be around, but ultimately in the end, you're family and you're going to make it work out.
And I think they did a great job on balancing Max's point of view and Goofy's point of view on each situation.
Yes. And I have to say, I loved that they involved Pete as another father to say, hey, Goofy, here's what you need to do. You know, you need to put him under your thumb. And you have Goofy that has more of the soft approach. He's not really that kind of parent.
Yeah. And with that, too, you have PJ, who is just a submissive, which by the PJ was one of his friends, which is Pete's kid. And PJ was just, you know, submitting to his dad and not fighting back or anything like that. But, even PJ didn't think that, Max is going to be able to pull it off.
Yeah, no.
Well, and this movie did good. Let me see, the Rotten Tomato score, for this was the audience scored it at 70% and, tomato viewers scored it at 61. It was a pretty good movie. I think it was a quiet, a little bit more of a quiet release, if I remember correctly. I think it was Pocahontas that was going to be coming out around that time period too, if I remember correctly. And so, because I don't remember it being, it was released in theaters, but I don't remember knowing that it was released in theaters.
And you said it was released in 95?
Yep, 95.
Wow. Okay.
But it was It was a good movie. It was good enough to be able to spur on a second movie, which is the extremely goofy movie.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is where Max goes off to college and Max's dad winds up having to go off to college too to get a degree to get a better job because he lost his job.
Okay.
Now,
at that point, was he still working in the photography?
No, he was working in a factory by then.
Okay.
So that was a little different there. Let's see. I have some random facts here. The voice actor that played PJ was admitted several times in interviews that he never seen the film in its entirety.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We already talked about the power line being based off of Bobby Brown, Prince, and Michael Jackson. And I could see really the Prince one. But, you know, when I read that with Bobby Brown and Michael Jackson, because I didn't realize that part, I was like, I could see that. Within the moves and everything.
Right, right. Like, I think they have several instances of a moonwalk in the movie.
Yes. Yeah, several instances in that.
Yes.
And when Max is singing in the school auditorium, which is the beginning scene, Roxanne is position changes from close to the stage to the back of the room. The reason the filmmakers did that is to give the illusion that all Max cares about is Roxanne and no one else.
Wow.
Because I always kind of wonder that too. I was like, how did she get from close to being out?
Mm-hmm.
But I can see, you know, changing that up. And, you know, originally Donald Duck had a larger role when he was going to play the travel agent.
Okay.
With that. But then they switched it up to where, you know, Goofy was going to use the same map. That his dad used with him.
You bring out a good point. You mentioned Donald Duck. One thing that I really enjoyed about the movie, and I think most Disney lovers would, there's a nice amount of Easter eggs throughout the movie. So when Max wakes up from his dream, I believe it's his phone that is actually Mickey Mouse themed. And then him and Goofy play like word games. Like, guess what I'm thinking of? And one of the answers is Walt Disney. Which, you know, I heard that and I'm like, wow, they actually put it right there in the world of Goofy. I mean, it was neat. And then one of my favorite songs in the movie, I think it was On the Road. Is that the name of the song?
Yes. Yeah, that's the one I was going to talk about.
They actually have Mickey and Donald, I think, on the road as they're driving.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, and they really like went all out on that number. It didn't have to be, but I think it was a good period where like you got to realize, like, Max was going to have more fun on this trip than he thought he was going to have.
Yes.
But it kind of gave also that moment of where father and son are getting along, or, you know, or starting to get along.
Mm-hmm.
And going through the trip and everything, starting at that beginning. And so when Max changes the map, and then Goofy gives him the map the day after he changed it, without Goofy knowing, so that betrayal that Goofy felt later on when he realized Max changed the route, which, I mean, I know you probably wouldn't have remembered everything you did, but I do think he also gave Max some choices on that route, he thought, to be able to maybe do what he would like a little bit.
Yeah.
So.
And, you know, it's interesting, up until the scene in the hot tub with Pete and Goofy, that sounds strange, but there is a scene where they're in a hot tub. Up until that scene, Goofy's just assuming that, you know, they're getting along great, there's no ulterior motive, and then when he finds out, they do such a great job of portraying the heartbreak, and like you said, the betrayal of, I thought we were getting along great, but here's this thing I didn't know about. And then the next day, Goofy gives him a chance and says, okay, son, which way do I turn? No, they're headed to California, or where was it?
I think it was California.
Okay.
I think Hollywood.
Okay, yeah. And eventually they have this argument, you know, down the road. They're trying to drive and they go off the road and all this. But they have a really good point of view in terms of reconciling the relationship.
Yeah, and the hijinks that occurs is they get out of the car. Goofy somehow locks the car.
Crazy.
And they're leaning up, or Max? Yeah, Max is leaning up against it.
I forgot about that.
And it pushes, and it goes off the cliff and down into this river and everything. Like, they're trying to save everything,
right?
And then they just wind up trying to save themselves. And Max does the perfect cast to save his dad.
Yeah, and then before that, I totally forgot about this, but you had Bigfoot and Max and trying. Bigfoot.
Yep. And again, they did not have to make Bigfoot as awesome as they did, but Bigfoot was amazing in there. And the fact that actually brought another scene that was more touching too, a remembrance of a time when Max was little and they played the alphabet soup game.
Right. Right.
Which, I mean, if you were a kid and you had alphabet soup, you'd play the games something like that, where you try to spell words.
And that was really touching, like you said, because you get this feeling that, well, it's a son that's distant from his father. But then he does spell out, "Hi, Dad," in the soup. Wow. It's
Which
pretty deep for a kid.
I think was one of the phrases that Goofy had said in there.
Yes.
Was that, and I think maybe "Love you, Dad," or something like that.
Right.
In there. But then, right after that, when Goofy falls asleep, is when Max changes the map. So kind of that's when the betrayal started there. But also the fact that it did show at one point that when Max and his dad were on the car and everything, and this was right before they were going to go off on the waterfall and Max saved them. They had like a heart to heart of the reason why Max did what he did. And of course, for a girl.
Right.
So.
And then the one part, and I've talked with you about this a couple of times, because I just think it's so touching. And I didn't even remember this part until I saw a reel on social media. But there's a section of dialogue where Max says, "I've got my own life now. You know, I'm not a kid anymore." And Goofy goes, "I know that. I just want to be a part of it." There's something in that dialogue for everyone, and I know some people don't like to get too deep into this, but it's just such a good message that on the kid side of it, yes, you're growing up, you want your own life, but then I think all of us at some point in our lives can relate to Goofy, who's like, "I just want to be a part of your life."
Well, and it could also, like you were saying, like relate to that, like between kids and parents, but also between like siblings.
Yes.
So like, I know my sister, she lives, across the United States, so I don't get to see her every day, or, you know, it takes a plane to go see her. And so, but putting those efforts in to just be a part of their lives and stuff, that's, that's what he's showing. And, we always think when we're teenagers that, you know, we know everything.
Right.
And we don't, you know, we're grown up and stuff. But really, I think Max kind of learned a little bit that he didn't.
Right. And, you know, I didn't even know until you mentioned it that he actually ends up going to college. And so I'm sure the growth in that movie, you see some changes from the first movie to the second in terms of, you know, now he's really kind of coming into his own even more so. You don't have to spoil this, but do him and Roxanne stay together in college? What happened?
Actually, that was a big whole thing of no.
Okay.
In the Extremely Goofy movie, Roxanne is nowhere to be talked about.
Interesting. Okay.
But one thing that did happen, though, is on the Disney Channel, they had, I forget what it's called, but all the Disney characters would come together in a movie theater.
House of Mouse,
yes. And at one point, they did have an episode where they somehow got Roxanne, or Max got together back with Roxanne. That was going to be their first date.
Mm-hmm.
Going there, and Goofy got involved and was trying to make it better and everything, and made everything worse because it's Goofy. They got together, and supposedly they're still technically together as far as we know.
Interesting.
You know,
there's
content wise.
There's not been a lot of on-screen content in terms of the two characters together outside of Goofy.
Yeah, no, not that much outside of that. I know that's one thing if some people are asking for the next movie, you know, Max being the adult and going through stuff and everything, but again, I don't know where Disney's at. They have a lot more right now on their plate.
Right.
So, but I did want to bring up that I was just looking up some interesting facts, and I didn't know this at all, but the inspiration for this film actually came from one of the chairmen at the Walt Disney Studios at the time. They were feeling very distant from their daughter, and he decided to go on a road trip with her, and that brought them closer together. So that's kind of like that premises of that part of the movie was done because a chairman just wanted to get closer with his daughter.
And that speaks to, you know, the one facet of art imitating life, not just, you know, life imitating art. But I mean, that really speaks to art and what it is. I saw a video clip not too long ago with, I believe, Ethan Hawke is his name, actor. And he was talking about art. And one of the things that he said is, you know, a lot of people talk about art sometimes as if it's just this thing that we do for fun. And a lot of times it's not even that. It's, I have something in me that I have to get out that I can't express without putting it, you know, whether it be an animation or a poem or a song, whatever it is, it could be heartbreak, it could be joy. And to hear that, you know, inspiration for the movie, it's pretty cool.
Yes. And just, you know, showing that real life can have effects on the movies. And again, the way they did it to me, of being able to show both points of view, not just one-sided, I think that really made the movie better.
Oh, yeah.
In the end. I do have a hidden Mickey fact. During the Powerline concert at the end of the movie, Mickey Mouse is spotted in the crowd in the lower left position of the crowd.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's interesting. Isn't there a Disney movie called Aristocats? Is that?
Yes. Aristocats, yes.
I feel like I saw them in the movie during the road. Is that?
They may have been. I'd have to rewatch that. Most of the time when that road sequence comes on, I start singing and I don't pay attention to the screen much.
And there's so much that goes by. It's like, I'm sure if I watched it again, I'd catch something that I missed.
Oh, yeah. And there's so many hidden little things that Disney loves to do in their movies.
Yes.
I do know that during like the Powerline song and everything, when Roxanne, because the whole deal is Max promised that he knew Powerline, and he was going to be not only at the concert, but actually on stage with Powerline. And Max never knew Powerline before that.
And somehow just delivered in a big way.
Yeah. Well, and just to note, kids, do not try to sneak into concerts.
Right.
It is not good and not safe.
Or get on stage. Don't try to do that.
Yeah. Don't try to do
Unless
that.
Unless you're invited.
They will. Yeah. They will stop you. And they will succeed. but it was just the moment, like, she saw him on the stage, like, she thought, you know, everything that was all real.
Right.
You know, but I love how he came back and he confessed the truth.
Yeah.
And then introduced his dad, which I think was going to happen anyway. But then, you know, the car blew up.
Right.
It's a Goofy movie. And Goofy fell through the roof of the porch. And, you know, got introduced to Roxanne. Also, if you remember, Roxanne's dad didn't say a single word.
Not a single word.
All he did was growl. And it was amazing. He was so funny and just intimidated Max so much.
Right, right. And what would have been funny is if they had him speak. And when he spoke, he was just this goofy sounding or adorable, you know, father. Because on the outside, he just looked so intimidating.
Yeah, but I also kind of like that they didn't have him do that, to have him not say anything, but also just look at his daughter so sweetly and then look back at Max and just be like, her. it was hilarious.
One of the things about this movie that I really appreciated, I'm very big on finding lessons in movies that we can hold on to, even in fictional, you know, cartoony sort of films. One of the things that I really appreciated in the movie was this idea of appreciating and loving the people around you, despite, you know, maybe being annoyed with a parent or a sibling or whatever it may be. I thought that came out really well in the film.
Yeah, and it, I also think it showed friendship very well, too.
Yes.
Because Max's friends, well, you know, they always joked around with this stuff like that, and they were supportive because they tried to help him get away with the pretending to be Powerline at the school. I want to say it was like the last day of school,
right,
where they had like an assembly and stuff going on. Also, though, Roxanne's friend of being like seeing that, you know, Max is actually a good guy.
Right.
And just being positive about him.
Yeah.
And I mean, I just felt like it was really good to show that, and the relationship. Also, the relationship between Pete.
Yes.
And, I mean, Pete may be not always the best person to take relationship advice, but also parenting advice from. But, you know, it shows their friendship between the two and how they equal each other out.
Yes. Yeah, I think you can tell that Pete truly cared about Goofy and Max and was trying to help. But unfortunately, I think Goofy actually told him this in that hot tub scene we talked about earlier. But I think he actually said, yeah, I tried everything you told me, and when I tried that, it just made it worse.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just also showing the different parenting styles.
Yes.
Some parenting styles work better for others and some don't.
That's right.
And sometimes you need to be a little stricter, but also I think you need to loosen the reins a little bit too. And I think that showed that both those points of view.
Right.
One thing I wish we'd gotten more interaction between Max and Roxanne a little bit. And that's just maybe a little bit more school time, like to kind of show them a little bit. But I also understand, like, they wanted to show, like, I don't think Roxanne really knew who Max was until he bumped into her.
Right.
And then he yucked.
Right. And that part, that's just unbelievable to me. Because most times when I was watching it, I'm like, wait, she doesn't know this guy. He's sitting here dreaming about her in his sleep. And then they start this interaction all through him pretending to be Powerline.
Sometimes it just takes one little instance to get someone you may have seen a bunch of times to look at differently.
That's right. But kids, if you want to get somebody to like you, don't pretend to be somebody you're not. And don't lie.
Yeah, and I would say it was probably not a good idea to interrupt the school assembly. Though that school assembly, I've been to many school assemblies. That was the most boring one I've ever seen.
You know what was funny about that is they actually showed the students sleeping in the middle of somebody speaking.
Yeah, that was so funny. Just but also the some other great things about this movie outside of the movie itself. And some people don't know this, but I think I talked about at the beginning of the podcast that it was released as a movie. And at that time, Disney did deals with like Burger King and McDonald's and stuff like that. And they would bid against each other to see who would get the rights to sell the toys. Oh, and they were like really cool toys at the time.
Do you have any?
I do not have any Goofy ones.
Okay.
But I have had a couple other ones back in the day from some other movies. But Burger King got the rights to the toys, and they had Goofy and Max on a raft, Goofy and Max on the water ski, Goofy on a bucking bronco, also Goofy and Max in a fishing boat,
mm-hmm.
Goofy and Max on a runaway car.
Oh wow!
And that came in two different versions of a color of the car: one red and black, and one yellow and blue. So the toys were pretty cool, but I don't know if they put as much into that because they had Pocahontas coming out pretty soon after that, too.
Neat. Okay. Well, everyone, thank you for joining us for this conversation about the Goofy movie. I had a lot of fun, Stephanie.
Yes, I did, too. And, folks, you can check this out. You'll be able to hear the podcast, the audio version first. You can go to the Branson Podcast Network, Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcast at. And if you want to link up with us on Facebook, you can find us all at Popcorn and Lore. And if you all have any suggestions that you all want us to cover or do, message us all there on Facebook, give us a like, follow, and thank you so much for just nerding out with us as we talk about a Goofy movie. On our next episode, we are going to be talking about rom-coms And we each picked one of our favorite rom-coms. I know that's very hard to do, but yes, we were able to narrow those down. And we're going to give those movies a little some information about them and maybe even some fun facts here on Popcorn and Lore.